Hi, I'm Tony Alessandra, and I'd like to welcome you to the Dynamics of Effective Listening. This program is based on a powerful but simple premise that each of us wants to be heard, really listened to when we speak. Feeling that I've really been listened to makes a major difference in how I feel about my personal relationships, my relationships with colleagues, and my relationships with people who want to influence me with their ideas or sell me something. What I'm suggesting is called active listening, a dynamic process of being actively, not passively, engaged in hearing the words of another person. As an active listener, you not only get a better sense of what the speaker intends, you also gain that person's attention, and then he or she is more disposed toward listening to what you have to say. By listening, I mean hearing the words, understanding the content, and understanding the other person's intent, point of view, and feelings on the subject. That's listening. This program is devoted to taking you through a step-by-step process to improve every aspect of your ability to listen. We're assuming that your listening apparatus, that is, your ears, are in good working order. If you want to listen, you obviously have to be able to hear. So it's not a bad idea to get your hearing checked, just as you should get your eyes checked once in a while. But don't assume just because your hearing is good that you're a good listener. Listening is much more than the physical process of hearing. It's also an intellectual and emotional process, and one of the ways we know that is by the physiological changes that take place. Slightly elevated blood pressure and pulse levels are evidence that listening is an active process. And the power of listening comes from knowing that as a good listener, you dramatically improve your capabilities as a partner in a relationship, as a parent, as a salesperson, as a customer service representative, as a person who gives instructions, as a doctor, nurse, minister, counselor, group leader, you name it. Anytime the success of your role depends on good communication with another person, your ability to listen is key. At each point in the communication process, something can slip up, and that can result in mistakes and misunderstandings. I'd like you to listen to the following conversation between Tom and his coworker, Alice, and see how many poor listening behaviors you can identify.
What I want to do, you see, I have this idea that I came up with.
Out with it, Tom. I haven't got all day.
Nothing I say seems to matter to you, does it, Alice?
I'm listening, but it doesn't sound like your idea is ready for prime time yet.
Okay, it's this. I want to put in a request to Central Purchasing to get some, air filtration units.
That's
on the...
That's ridiculous. They'll never go for it.
I'm telling you, cleaner air around here will improve
Forget
everybody's
it.
Attitude, and you'd see productivity would shoot
Forget
up.
Forget it, Tom.
Well, it's a conversation, but there's not much real listening going on. Let's identify some of the problems. The most obvious problem was the noise in the background, which made it very difficult to have a conversation. Besides that, what do you think was the main problem? I think it was Alice not giving Tom a chance to speak his mind. Now, sometimes we have to be a little patient in allowing the other person to get an idea out. Tom was stumbling around a bit, but he did have a bona fide idea. Instead of encouraging him to formulate his idea, she put more pressure on him than he was already feeling when she said, "Out with it, Tom." Tom reacted not by composing himself and trying again, but by attacking Alice. He was reacting to his feelings of being abused. Alice's remark that she was listening was not reassuring. It had the tone of, "I'm standing here until you're done, but my attitude is closed." Tom continues anyway with his idea, and before it's out of his mouth, Alice cuts him off and calls it ridiculous. Even if her immediate reaction internally was the thought, "That's ridiculous," she should have let him finish. Now, here's where Tom made a listening mistake. He pushes on to try to convince her she's wrong. He could have turned her remark to his advantage by asking her a question. "Why do you think it's ridiculous?" Then at least they might have engaged in a dialogue about his idea. But instead, it became a standoff, with each one talking over the other. What happened in the space of that less than 1 minute conversation? Whatever relationship Alice and Tom had prior to it has deteriorated. Tom is undoubtedly angry at how Alice treated him, and Alice feels Tom wasted her time. Trust between the two of them went downhill, and that'll show up whenever they need to work together again. Because Alice didn't give his idea any credibility, Tom's likely to dismiss Alice's ideas in the future. They'll be less likely to really hear each other, and that could lead to mistakes and misunderstandings. In addition, Tom could decide to leave the company, and that would mean the loss of an employee who cares enough to come up with ideas for improving productivity. All because they couldn't listen to each other for less than 1 minute. The point of this illustration is that poor listening is far too common. And it's because good listening is hard work, at least before you've mastered the active listening techniques. Afterwards, it can become second nature to you. But the effort required in the beginning is worth it, because the price of poor listening is high. Damaged relationships, divorce, lost sales, lost customers, unsatisfactory work, employee turnover, difficult relations with your children, especially if they're teenagers, and the list goes on and on. And what about listening to people who have a hard time expressing their needs? People who are ill or elderly or disabled in some way. Having good listening skills is paramount in being a good caregiver. I'd like you to take a few seconds to think about someone you'd characterize as a poor listener. How would you describe that person? Maybe you'd say something like, "She thinks she's so important. She doesn't take the time to listen to anyone else." Or, "He's such a bore. All he does is talk about himself. He never listens." Now think of someone you'd characterize as a good listener. How would you describe that person? You might say, "I know I really can talk to him. I know he understands what I'm feeling." Or, "She's really patient with me when I'm trying to express my thoughts. That's why I trust her." Now imagine that both of the people you just thought of, the poor listener and the good listener, are up for the same job promotion. If they have the same basic job qualifications, which one's likely to get the promotion? What about two salespeople selling the exact same product? One salesperson listens carefully and responds to the customer. The other salesperson has a standard spiel and doesn't address the customer's needs and concerns. Which one is more likely to get the sale? I hope you're convinced that devoting some time to this program is really worth it. But I'll bet as you've listened to what I've said so far, very carefully, I hope, it just sounds like common sense. If we know it makes a big difference, why don't we listen better? I've already given you one reason. It's hard work. It takes concentration, patience, open-mindedness, and the ability to interpret other people's ideas and recap them. It means paying attention to the nonverbal aspects of the message, that is, the voice tone and the body language. And it means being able to think logically, to separate the main points from the details, even when the speaker isn't so logical himself. I think another reason we often don't listen as well as we can is because we're tired of listening in general. Words come at us from so many different directions every day, and much of this onslaught is an attempt to manipulate us into feeling a certain way, buying a certain item, or going to a certain movie. Radio, TV, billboards, our spouse, colleagues, kids, and even the dog, they all want our undivided attention. With all of this incoming stimuli, we've learned to screen out information that we feel is irrelevant. Pretty soon, screening out becomes a habit, and we sometimes lose the ability to differentiate what's important from what's not important. Another reason we don't listen is because we're action-oriented. Listening doesn't feel like an action. It is, but it doesn't feel like it. We think we know what a person's going to say, so we get in on the action by jumping in and interrupting or jumping to conclusions. We also don't like to listen to words that give us knee-jerk reactions. Bothersome words like the crime problem or budget cuts can cause us to tune out. So can offensive four-letter words or words that engender guilt on our part. A sentence starting with, "Why didn't you?" is a sure way to turn off our listening apparatus. One other reason for poor listening habits is that you can hear faster than I can speak. I'm clipping along here at about 150 words per minute. The problem is that you can listen to between 400 and 500 words per minute. That means there's a considerable gap between my speech speed and your listening speed. Through technology, we can speed up my words to you, but it gets tedious and you retain less than you would if I were speaking to you at my normal speed. So, how can we deal with the problem of all of that mental space that's left between my speaking speed and your listening speed? Usually, we fill it in with daydreams, mental arguments with the person, thinking about what you're going to say next, or nothing at all. And that's not very productive. I'll tell you how to fill that space in a very valuable way a little later. Besides all that, many of us are poor listeners because we simply don't learn how to listen effectively. Listening isn't usually taught in schools like reading and writing. Maybe you've had someone in your life who role modeled good listening habits for you. But even if that's the case, I doubt that you can learn all the subtleties of good listening without a formal training approach like the one I'm giving you. All the benefits that come when you listen actively to another person can be summarized in one sentence. Effective listening enhances the relationship. It increases trust, improves credibility, makes the other person more willing to cooperate, and leads to psychological reciprocity, which means if you listen to me, I'll listen to you. Let's replay that conversation between Tom and Alice. This time, Tom's still unsure of his idea, and Alice is still thinking negative thoughts, but both of them are at least committed to actively listening to one another.
How about if we move over there? I'd like to tell you something.
Okay.
What I want to do, you see, I had this idea I came up with.
Out with it, Tom. I haven't got all day.
Look, I haven't talked about this with anybody. Just give me 1 minute and listen, okay?
Okay. I'm listening, but it doesn't sound like your idea is ready for prime time yet.
Okay, it's this. I want to put in a request to Central Purchasing to get some air filtration units on the floor to clean up the oil and solvent smells in here.
I don't think they'll go for it. Too expensive.
I'm telling you, cleaner air around here will improve everybody's feeling about working here. Productivity would shoot up.
They'll just tell you to open more windows, I'll bet.
Well, maybe. But would you support me if I bring it up with the floor manager?
Well, I think it's a good idea, but it'll never get funded. Go ahead, try it.
Now, that was a much better conversation. Alice still disagreed with Tom, but he didn't feel dismissed by her like he did in the first version of the conversation. Instead of reacting to Alice's abrupt remarks, Tom asks questions to diffuse her opposition. They're still friends, still co-workers who listen to each other, and maybe Alice will even support his idea in the future. I've come up with a way to put together all the specific techniques of active listening into an easy-to-remember acronym. The acronym is CARESS. CARESS. A caress is a sign of affection, usually given by a touch. But in this program, caress is going to mean extending to another person a gesture of respect and interest through careful listening. The letters of CARESS each stand for an important aspect of active listening. Let me run through them quickly. The C in CARESS stands for concentrate. That means you focus your attention on the speaker and only on the speaker. A stands for acknowledge. When you acknowledge the speaker, you demonstrate your interest and attention. R stands for research and respond, which entail gathering information about your speaker and about her concerns through the skillful use of questions, statements, and feedback. The E in CARESS stands for emotional control. That means you learn how to exercise emotional control in dealing with any content that's highly charged for you. The first S in CARESS stands for sensing. This is the ability to understand the full implications of the speaker's message by tuning into vocal qualities and body language. And the second S stands for structure. This is the skill of organizing the information you're hearing and observing. Even though I'll present these six aspects of caress in a linear fashion, one after the other, they don't occur that way in normal conversation. As an active listener, you're concentrating, acknowledging, maintaining emotional control, sensing the nonverbals, and structuring the information all at the same time. And when it's your turn to talk, you're researching and responding for more insight and information. It's a little like looking at a rainbow. You can see the whole beautiful arc all at once, or you can look at each of its separate colors. Active listening, like rainbows, is best appreciated as a whole experience. But the most effective way to learn the active listening techniques is to break them apart. As you develop and deepen the skills I'm going to present, you'll have a feeling of being able to do something you couldn't do before, like speaking a foreign language or using a new software program. You'll definitely enhance your life with this active listening ability, and everyone you come in contact with will benefit. It will simply give you more confidence in handling all kinds of communication, especially difficult ones. Before we begin to examine and learn the step-by-step caress approach, I'd like to give you a listening skills quiz. This will give you an indication of where you are right now in each of the key areas of the caress model. As you respond to these questions, you'll get a better idea of which skills you already possess and which ones you need to focus more attention on as the program proceeds. Respond as honestly as you can to each question. No one's going to know your answers except you, and this quiz will give you valuable information about yourself if you take it seriously. I'll ask you to consider statements in each of the six areas of caress: concentrate, acknowledge, research and respond, emotional control, sensing, and structuring. As you hear each statement, decide whether that statement is true for you most of the time, sometimes, or hardly at all. This is just a quick assessment. Don't spend a lot of time deciding what's the best answer. Just try to keep a rough count of how many hardly ever responses that you give. Let's begin with concentration. When I talk with others, my mind is completely absorbed by what they're saying, and it seldom wanders. Now, is that statement true most of the time, sometimes, or hardly at all for you? When I'm in a conversation, I hold my comments until the other person is finished speaking. I don't let distractions like ringing telephones, street traffic, or other conversations distract me from what someone's saying. I notice if the other person seems to be bothered by something I'm doing, like standing too close or talking too loudly. Now let's go on to the statements involving acknowledgement. When I'm talking with someone, I acknowledge what's being said with comments like, "I see," "right," or "uh-huh." Is that statement true most of the time, sometimes, or hardly at all for you? I'm aware that my facial expressions and eye contact are sending messages to the other person about how interested I am in what they're saying. I'm aware that behaviors such as yawning, cleaning my fingernails, and checking my watch send messages that I'm not very interested in what's being said. I know that interrupting someone as they're speaking is the opposite of being a good listener. The research and respond aspect of listening involves actual dialogue between you and the speaker, but it's in the service of being a better listener. Decide whether each of these statements is true most of the time, sometimes, or hardly at all for you. Whenever I talk with someone, I ask open-ended questions that can't be answered with a simple yes or no to elicit more information. When I hear something I don't understand, I make sure I ask questions until I understand it. I try to ensure that there's a two-way flow of communication by giving feedback on what someone's saying to me. I let others know I'm listening and trying to understand what they're saying by using phrases like, "Tell me more about that," or, Can you give me an example? Or, then what? Emotional control is an area where we all have problems, but no matter how many buttons the speaker might push for us, there are ways to manage our reactions. Here are the quiz statements. I judge and respond to only the value of what's being said, rather than the manner in which the person says it. When talking with others, I don't let myself get distracted with thoughts about their accents, clothing, hairstyles, or speech patterns. When someone is saying something to me that I strongly disagree with, I listen carefully to their perspective. If someone tells me an ethnic or a sexist joke in the middle of a conversation, I'm able to avoid overreacting. Okay, the next category is sensing the other person's messages through their vocal qualities and body language. That's an art in itself. When I'm talking with others, I read their body language as well as listen to their words to fully interpret what they're telling me. Most of the time, sometimes, hardly at all. I try to read what's going on behind the words of the speaker by asking myself what they might be feeling. I ask myself why the person is saying what he's saying, what his motivations are. As I listen to someone speak, I try to sense their nervousness or confidence in what they're saying. I understand that if a person pauses to find the right words to finish a thought, I shouldn't jump in and try to finish it for her. The sixth area of caress is structure. Being able to structure the other person's remarks is an asset that will come in handy in many situations. Here are the quiz statements. Whenever I talk with others, I take either mental or written notes of the major idea and key points. As I take my mental or written notes, I sequence, that is, I listen for order or priority. As I listen, I try to create mental images as a way to remember the content. And, as I listen, I'm able to sort out fact from opinion. Okay, that's the listening quiz. There were a total of 24 statements. Approximately how many hardly at all scores did you get? Not very many? Quite a few? By taking this quiz, you've already been introduced to some of the principles in the caress model, and you've learned about some of the important techniques. You also know the areas you really need to concentrate on as we continue. Let's wrap up this side by listening to another conversation. Mr. and Mrs. Beacons are discussing whether their teenage son, Kevin, can attend football camp this summer. There are at least a half dozen mistakes in terms of our active listening model. See how many you can detect.
Geez, Dad, you're not being very fair. I've been looking forward to it all summer. All the guys are going, and you said it was okay in May.
Kevin, I also told you you could go to football camp only if you read the books on your reading list for the fall. Now, you haven't done that, have you?
I'll get them read, Dad. This is so important
to me. Your father's right, dear. Studies show high school scholars achieve much more in life than high school athletes. I read about it in a science magazine.
Mom, I'm an individual. I'm me. This is my life. I'll do the studies, too. You don't understand how important this is to me. My buddies are all going to be there.
I wonder what that was. You know, I heard a noise like that the other day when I was out in the garden, and Mr. Thompson said he thought it was a young man down the block setting off firecrackers.
I think we ought to settle the summer reading list issue, dear.
You're right. And what about getting injured?
How come nobody supports me, listens to my side of the story? This is about me and my friends going to football camp.
At your age, Kevin, you can't know what's going to be important when you're an adult. Academic success will be so much more important than if you went to football camp.
I agree with your mother, young man, and I don't like your whining and complaining about how we don't support you. You have a roof over your head, don't you? Now listen, when I can see some evidence that you're tackling that reading list, we can discuss the football camp.
Well, Kevin didn't exactly get caressed by his parents in that conversation, did he? Psychologists who specialize in parent-adolescent relations say the number one difficulty is that parents don't give their adolescent the respect that they would give to another adult. Every letter of the caress model was violated in that conversation. Neither parent was concentrating on the issue that Kevin was raising, his need to go to football camp. They kept raising other issues. Neither one acknowledged him as he spoke. In fact, the father interrupted him, and the mother started to focus on some noise outside and went off on a tangent. There was no researching and responding done by the parents on what Kevin hoped to gain from going to camp. The parents assumed they had all the answers. The father lost his emotional control at one point and used the old cliche of keeping a roof over Kevin's head to make him feel subservient to their wishes. It seemed neither parent sensed Kevin's deeply felt need to do something with his buddies. And finally, in terms of structuring, they kept missing his main point. He wanted to get closure on whether he could go to camp. When the father put off indefinitely an answer on that issue, he clearly had missed or had chosen not to respect his son's plea. Whatever the outcome of this family discussion happens to be, the conversation itself was not well handled. Being an active listener in an emotion-filled conversation like this could be the acid test of this program. I know it's hard, but I promise you even that will be possible if you commit yourself to learning the techniques presented in this program. Beginning on slide 2, I'll teach you the caress model, and you'll be able to apply it in any situation where winning the respect and trust of the person you're listening to is important.